Welcome to The Gathering. I'm Charity Goodwin, and I get to be one of the pastors here. If you're new and you're worshiping with us for the first time, or maybe this is your first time back checking out a church in a while, I just want to say I honor your presence and your courage for being here today. Maybe you've been a part of our community, and this is the place that you call home, the place where you belong. Welcome. Thank you all just for being here today as we continue in worship. My prayer for all of us is that this worship experience would be a blessing. And so here we go together. So typically when I preach a first message in a place, I share with people that I believe that the sermon is a shared time together. That means that it's okay for you to say amen, hallelujah, or uh-oh, whatever it might be. But since we're not in person, I want to encourage you, I want to invite you to really use the chat, use the comments, and share your reactions and your responses as we go along today. As a person who loves to cook, I was really excited when I learned that we would be doing this series called Basic Ingredients, A Recipe for a Full Life. The basic ingredients are do no harm, do good, and attend to God. Now, while I enjoy cooking now, when I was learning to cook, that was a whole other story. My mama, I'm sure, could tell you some stories about my early adventures in the kitchen. I frustrated my mom to no end because I was the type of person who would turn up the fire and then find something else to do in the house, like watch TV or talk to my friends on the phone. Too many times I set off the smoke detector in our home, and my mom would come to me and say, "Charity, you have to tend to what you're cooking." She meant that I needed to pay attention to what I was doing. I needed to focus. I needed not to divide my attention between cooking the food and all the other things that I thought I preferred to do. It's easy to drift. It's easy to drift, and attention is hard to come by in these days where there's nothing but disruption and interruptions and distractions. They prevail in our world and in our society. During pandemic times, it's hard to stay connected to God, and it's hard to stay connected to Christian community when the heat is turned up in our world. But today we're going to look at four ways that you can stay connected to community, four ways that you can attend to God. I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, I moved in with my sister. And she had cleared out a dresser drawer for me to place my things. It had been about 3 weeks, and I was still living out of my red luggage bag. And I remember her saying to me, "Charity, when are you going to settle in?" Now, settling in isn't denial, it's not abdicating, and it's definitely not coasting. Rather, settling in is to wait with expectancy and intentionality, to wait in grace, to actively wait while we are practicing these basic and ordinary things that keep us connected to each other and also keep us connected to God. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, called these ways of being, these practices, means of grace. Now, the means of grace are acts that give us access to grace. Each of them requires our attention and for us to make ourselves available to them. If we practice them, they can become spiritual practices. They can become habits that we use and we use on a regular basis. They can be practiced individually, and at the same time, they are the hallmark of Christian community. They feed our spiritual lives. Like the seasoning that you love, that you put on everything. For me, that might be garlic or a Lori's seasoning salt. The means of grace, they go well at every stage of faith, even having no faith. Wesley said that we can wait in the means of grace. That is, you can let your basic ingredients of do no harm, do good, and attend to God, that you can let those simmer. You can let them slow cook. That our faith can stew. Some of the best and most tender recipes, the most tender meals, they take time to be prepared. They take time to come together. But these days, friends, I don't know about you, but it feels like all we're doing is waiting. Waiting on justice, waiting on the world to change, waiting to try to figure out how and if the kids are going back to school and what our work schedules are going to look like. There's just waiting after waiting after waiting. But what if we waited in grace? What if we take this opportunity to wait with expectancy and intentionality? I know hearing wait for some of us, we're like, I'm up to here. I'm done waiting. I'm impatient. It's time for all of this to be over already. And I get that. But today we're going to look at four ways that we can practice waiting in grace. Four ways that we can love and attend to God and Christian community during these especially difficult times. These four grace acts are rooted in Jesus' words in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, which we know as the Great Commandment. It says this: you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. During this pandemic, the good news is that love is more than pristine, pretty antics. Love has become an honest lament. Love is the moan and the sigh we exhale while we're watching the news, while we're wearing our mask, and while we're working from home. To love God is to offer all of who we are. Somebody just say all. It's all of who we are, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength in these four practices I'll share with you today. The first practice is to worship with all of your heart. You're already doing that today. You're here. You're worshiping. You're in the place, wherever that space and place is. You are attending to God, and you're attending to the community. You may have some questions. You may have some doubts and some uncertainties, but you are here. You are welcomed, and you are here responding to the one who is love. It's easy during this disruptive season that we're all going through to forego worship, to say, I'll just wait until it all goes back to normal again. But I know in my personal life, I found that the further away I've been from Christian community, the longer it's taken me to return. These days, I mean, I feel committed to Christian community. I'm a pastor. I love you all. I get to do this. And then there are still weeks that feel hard or days that feel just super low. And I think maybe I should just shut down or disengage. But when I show up to worship, I get a word, a lyric, a phrase, even a comment from someone else in the chat. And then I receive that thing that I need. And so instead of shutting down, I want to invite you to show up. To worship with all of who you are. To worship with all of your heart. To worship with your heart's joy as well as your heart's heartache and heartbreak. One thing I've noticed in people recently is that our emotions seem to be right on the surface. There's a time we could just push them down and not really know what people were thinking or feeling, but our emotions seem to be very readily accessible right on the surface. And that's because we can all sense it and see it in each other because we're feeling it as well. Your heartfelt worship includes your heartache as well as your heartbreak. This is what it means to love with your whole heart. The second way you can stay connected to God during this season is through soulful prayer. Soulful prayer. In prayer, we can offer all of our soul. Prayer is more than a list of things that we ask God for or things that we just want. In prayer, we can name what our soul is searching for, what our soul is longing for. That becomes our prayer. Prayers that are soulful take on different shapes. There are prayers that say, thank you, Lord, and there are prayers that celebrate God. And sometimes there are prayers that are just silent. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel at the same time full as well as empty. And so I sit in silence, just allowing God to see me and to receive me. Prayers, soulful prayers, they might say, oh Lord, or how long? Prayers that lament injustice. These are the soulful prayers that can attend to God during this season. The third way we can attend to God during these interesting and strange times is to read scripture. Now, friends, I've been doing this for a while, and every place I've been, there are people who say to me, like, there's just no way. I don't get it. I don't understand scripture. One of the things I think we do is we confuse reading scripture with studying scripture. Now, both are important, and both can be transformational, but it's also okay to just simply read it. And there's grace in reading the word. One approachable method of scripture is called divine reading, or Lectio Divina. It's a centuries-old practice that sometimes is referred to as chewing on the word. You can Google how to do it this week, but if you do, I want to invite you to use the scripture we have today from Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Focus in on that passage. I hope you engage this practice this week with an open mind. Loving God with all our mind includes allowing our minds to be transformed. This practice, this act of grace, simply reading the scripture, is transformational more than informational. Allow God to speak through the scripture. It might be a word, it may be a whole sentence, or maybe even a phrase. But when we do this, we allow these words and phrases and sentences to become part of us, to become perhaps even the peace we need for all of the mind chatter that we have going on. You know, the things that we don't say out loud, but that entire conversation that's going on in your mind that no one else is privy to. The mind chatter that happens when we lie down to go to sleep, but our brains continue to go on and on and on. Reading scripture is a way to receive some peace. It's a way to receive transformation of our minds, and it opens us to hear from God. The fourth way we attend to God during these times is by fasting. Fasting is removing food from one's diet so that we can make room for clarity, insights, and remembrances. Now, my grandpa, when dinner would be over, he sat at the head of the table and he'd lean over and he began to pat his belly like this. And we'd all joke and say, "Papa, what are you doing?" And he'd say, "Oh, I'm just making room, just making room." He was looking forward to dessert that was soon to come. For all of us to make room, it's an invitation for us to allow God's strength to live and to move in God's strength rather than physical food. For more than a decade, I've had a practice of a fasting at the beginning of the year. Typically, it's a 21-day fast, and it's a way for me to sort of center myself, to prepare myself, to start the year in a way that I hope that I can continue on throughout the rest of the year. It's also a time for me to surrender my stubborn strength. You know, all strength ain't good strength. And so this surrendering of what I would call my stubborn strength, the places in my heart that can be inflexible and rigid. Surprisingly, as we find ourselves in these uncertain times, one of my weekly practices has been fasting. It's been a tangible reminder that in the places where I feel weak, God is strong. I want to invite you to check out fasting. You can just take one day, you can skip breakfast or skip dinner, and drink lots of water, and just pay attention. Stay aware. Fasting is one of the ways by which we can attend to God and Christian community. Friends, especially in these uncertain times, worship, prayer, scripture reading, fasting, all of these ways connect us to God and connect us to each other while we wait. We wait in grace. We practice the basic ingredients, do no harm, do good, and attend to God. While we wait, these acts, they simmer and they stew, and in our waiting, God is seasoning our lives with grace upon grace. The pandemic stretches us, no doubt about it. It's stretching us to love God with all of who we are. God can handle the whole of us and not just the sugar-coated pretty parts that we prefer to offer up. God knows the whole of us. We started this basic ingredient series with a reminder that we love because God loved us. To do no harm, to do good and to attend to God. These are our responses to the one who is love. This is our response to the one who made us in love, made us all lovely, to the one who is calling us to share that love. And as we close out our series, I want to invite you this week to write in the chat, how will you respond to God's love this week? How will you meet God's love with your love? And I pray as we go forward in our week, we do so by loving on, gracing on, and waiting on the God who loves us. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for the grace, the gift of your grace. Thank you for the ways of being and the practices that allow us to access your grace and your love. If ever there was a time we need your grace, it's now. As the world becomes sometimes barely recognizable, we center and connect ourselves on you. We recommit to Christian community as part of our saving grace from isolation, shutting down, and sheer loneliness. We desire to love you with all of who we are, withholding nothing. And we thank you for receiving us and receiving our love for you. Lord, as we wait this thing out, we will wait with you and we will wait with others. And when we come out of this, we hope and we pray your grace will season all of who we are and who we have become. This we pray in the name of Jesus, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.